Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
.FM. Right here.
Good evening, Florence and Philadelphia.
Here.
Breaking news. VH1 has a show called Dating Naked.
Blasphemer!
And it's exactly how it sounds. Two people go through the dating ritual totally naked on camera.
Better than Vegas.
With their naughty parts blurred.
My body was blessed by Mother Nature, honey.
Now, one of the stars of the show has filed a lawsuit saying, in one episode, a crotch shot was not blurred.
I think we have a wiener.
She now feels lied to, manipulated, and used.
Look at the size of this thing.
And a budding relationship with a man she'd been dating for a month fizzled after the show aired.
So, I've been bamboozled. Oh, my.
Right. You agreed to be naked on a TV show. You did a wrestling move on the show. And when your vajayjay wasn't pixelated in a shot, then you felt humiliated?
Oops, did I do that?
By the way, her last name is Nizwitz.
You just a messy fool.
A developing story. A man in Montana called 911 when a stripper wouldn't have sex with him. You idiot. You're supposed to call 6911 for that stuff.
Exactly like your father. A big, stupid, muscle-headed moron.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting from the future in the Super G Streamliner on the Gear Force, WGN.FM, Chicago.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
That's right, Mr. Skilling. What are they going to do?
No, I don't. Not a thing, Gary. They can't stop us.
When they come for them.
I know. Boy, there are crazy people in the world.
Oh, I come in every day, and there are a fistful of crazy stories that I will share.
Yes.
For the next 4 hours.
Yeah. Happy Thursday, by the way.
This week seems to be flying by.
It does, doesn't it? It seems like it just started. Yeah, it's been
Again, after 50, Tom, it's like you're having breakfast every 15 minutes. Get used to it.
It's an age thing, huh? All right.
Before you know it, you're lying there watching Wheel of Fortune with the volume all the way up.
Right.
What? What? Doing that. Yesterday, we got into a jag.
Yeah.
And it was revolving around the tarp being pulled out on Wrigley Field inappropriately, if that's the right word. With that rain delay that lasted 4 or 5 hours, and then the game was officially called as a complete game. But then the Giants protested, and it got reversed, so they're going to finish that this afternoon. But I said in my opening that that's the kind of thing where you'd play Yakety Sax, the Benny Hill theme, if you saw it.
Yeah. There it is.
And somebody's already done that. Somebody sent me the video of them trying to get this tarp on the field, and Yakety Sax in the background, and it's beautiful. And I'm thinking Yakety Sax really is something that we should apply to so many events on this planet right now. The whole world is upside down, and this is the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Case in point. I go to the bank today, and I'm making a deposit. So the teller is busy, so there's a woman at a desk, and she said, well, I can take it. It's a deposit only, right? I said, yes. So I go and I hand her the deposit, and she goes, can you stand on the other side of the desk? Because I have some very
sensitive and
personal information that's visible here. And I go, so I went, I just stood on the other side of the desk. And she goes, no, in the lobby area. And then in my head, this went off. I just...
So what was
it? Was one of those. It almost looked like some kind of sitcom setup. No, can you stand on the other side of the desk? So I just moved to the other side of the desk.
Yeah.
She goes, no, I have sensitive information here. Can you go in the. And she didn't have that tone, but in my head it was like that.
Yeah.
Can you stand in the lobby area and I'll bring you the receipt?
Wow.
So I'm standing there and she comes out. Yes, I. Now, I wasn't going to look at it, although I'm the kind of person at night, if I'm driving down the street and people's window shades are open and the lights are on, I'm going to see what's inside.
Unless a pregnancy test? What does she have?
I mean, I don't know, but unless you pull your shades, you want people to look in your window. Right?
Have you noticed that that condo building that is on the Edens Expressway up by Old Orchard?
You do it too.
It's all windows, and
Yeah. That's right by Old Orchard.
Yeah, and it's like floor to ceiling windows, and I thought, I can't see that many people have blinds up there. And I always think, thank goodness there's so many of them that if there was anything going on in any one of them, you'd probably miss it.
Well, that and the fact you're going about 70 on the Edens.
Yeah.
Well, the people that are on the side street there, you're right. They have a whole afternoon of rear window.
It seems awfully revealing.
Or evening. It's easier in the evening.
It's kind of a cool building. I really like that building, but it seems to me, I wonder how they have any privacy in that with the windows being as large as they are.
They don't, and that's what I'm saying. If they leave the shades up, if they in fact have shades, they want you to look at it.
Yeah, I guess.
I just do it for decorating tips and see what kind of paint color.
Well, it is true.
Using.
You know, a lot of these places, they're awfully nice looking. Just the color of the lighting and all that goes on inside, and you think, boy, I bet if I could really look in that place, it would really be nice. But
And case in point, when I paid our real estate tax, when I was at the counter, there was a little nook where they were putting the previous receipt in that was just paid. So I did glance and saw that somebody's taxes were $500. That's for 6 months. So they're paying $1,000 in real estate tax a year. And I looked at the address, and I thought, well, I can tell why, but I'm thinking, wait. Compared to what I'm paying, I'm sure the services are pretty much the same. What am I getting that's that much more extraordinary than what they're getting for a fraction?
Good point.
Right?
Yeah. Perfect point.
So I thought, hell, I'm moving to Englewood.
When you walk up to an ATM machine and there's somebody like doing a transaction
in
front of you.
It's an ATM, Tom.
What did I say?
Because you said ATM machine. You just said ATM machine.
Machine. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
That's like PIN number.
That's
true. You just were redundant. That's
You're
all.
Right. Sorry about that. You are absolutely right. But when you walk up to an ATM and somebody's doing, do you find yourself so that it doesn't look like you're looking for the PIN number or something like that? You always feel awkward and you kind of look away. You're not quite sure what to do because you don't want to look like you're spying on somebody. You know what I'm surprised about, Gary, is that they let you come up to the desk this morning at the bank, if there was all that sensitive stuff on there, why did she volunteer to take your deposit slip?
That's one of those things where I wasn't thinking of it until she said it, and then I thought, well, now that you've told me, I guess I will stare. And that's when she dismissed me from the desk entirely.
Gee.
But it had that whole George Costanza yakety sax moment.
Right.
Can you stand on the other side of the desk? I went to the other side of the desk. No, over there.
Yeah.
But you said the other side of the desk. This is the other side of the desk.
But it is crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
And I know Ebola is not something to laugh about, but a number of the people there, they think that the doctors without borders are bringing the virus in. And they want their witch doctor to come and cure them, and that's when the yakety sax goes off.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we've got people shooting people because they don't believe as they do, are you surprised by that? I mean, it is crazy. It's upside down.
But if you just keep this yakety sax in your head when you're going through a
day, you can deal with it more easily.
It's perfect because nothing bothers you.
That's right.
It's just all yakety sax.
You say, oh, it's life.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yesterday,
and here's the music track to it.
Yeah, at this exact time yesterday, the first half hour of the show was not going anywhere.
No.
It was going within
Literally.
I thought it was pretty strong.
Yeah.
And I'm not that big of a backslapper for myself. I'm not going to just stroke myself, but I thought we had some good energy.
Well, creatively, it was fine.
It was clicking and clacking.
Yeah.
And it was told to me 27 minutes into the show, nobody heard that but you four knuckleheads. But the replay at 7 had it.
Yeah.
So that's nice, I guess.
Yeah.
But then I saw this memo today from the Tribune, and I'm not going to get the whole thing out there because I'm sure they're sensitive. Yesterday we experienced a network outage which lasted about 20 minutes. That was so, and then I read the whole thing and yakety sax went off again.
Yeah, right.
And they go on to explain what happened, and I just thought yakety sax.
And that explanation is more confusing than what really happened.
But
I don't even know what.
But it wasn't just my show. The computers for the whole network here went out.
Gary, I got on the air on television last night, and the mic started crackling to the point, you know, you couldn't even hear it. So all I could think was that it was an extension of what we had dealt with earlier in the afternoon.
Don't you wear two microphones? A lot of people do.
You know, for a long time we did, and then they dispensed with that. So maybe we ought to go back to that again. I don't know. But I couldn't help but think when that happened last night, well, it figures because, hey, well, what was the story on that? Did the show actually go out on, or did it not?
The first half hour did not.
Okay.
It didn't go out at that time, but it was on digital.
Gotcha.
So when it got replayed in the podcast, it's all there.
Yes.
But and I didn't know it until it was over.
Yeah.
That segment was over. Nobody heard it but the four of us.
By the way, Gary, one of the things we talked about was, you know, going into the ocean. And
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, did you see that mailing from Leslie?
Here's the thing. I think we are some kind of prognosticators.
I know, pace setters.
We're soothsayers,
right.
Vox Populi, Sybil from the Closet,
right.
All those network shows from the movie.
Yeah.
Because just about everything I talked about yesterday is now in the paper today.
As a news story.
As a news story.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm pulling this stuff pretty much out of my keister half the time. Medical marijuana on the front page of the Tribune.
Yeah.
It runs down that whole thing in Illinois. But I'm glad you brought that ocean story up. Before we get into that, here's a text at 312-521-8600. Did you hear that Kermit the Frog and Cookie Monster did the ice bucket challenge?
Oh, did they?
For real. Glad they're raising money, but really? And then you hear Yakety Sax.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to do the ice bucket challenge?
Is that their voices?
That's Cookie Monster.
That's Cookie Monster.
Yeah.
Kermit the Frog is,
I'm going to do it.
Or whatever he sounds like.
Yeah, he's more down here.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. Boy, that would take some real acrobatics for Kermit to actually lift the pan of ice, wouldn't it, and do it? Because he's a puppet, after all.
Yeah.
So.
But even puppets are doing it.
I guess.
Okay.
Well, he rode a bike.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah.
How do they do that? Because they can't show, because there's a guy lying underneath them working them.
Do you know
they put his, they had the bike, like, they had his legs, and then they did that bike like you do where the bike just, you know, it was on a track. So this way he was sitting on the
like
bike.
Like at an amusement park.
Yeah.
So I have some experience with this because I worked with a puppet up in Milwaukee that was done by a guy by the name of Jack Dublon. He was the one who operated Albert the Alley Cat up there. And I remember we'd go to parades. And they'd have Albert in the car behind me, and it was Jack laying down in the back seat.
All right, turn the yakety sax off. I don't want to burn it out.
With Albert up there, and so that was quite interesting.
Yeah, when you've got a guy right below you the whole time you're working, I mean, that's a little nerve-wracking. And then the puppet turned out to be more popular. That had to be really crazy.
Oh, the puppet was quite a draw. And, they would put him in the car behind me, so they didn't want to see me. They wanted to see Albert, you know. But it was interesting. He wouldn't let people come in and visit the news studio because he didn't want them to see him doing Albert.
Okay, yeah, because people would think, it's a puppet?
Right.
There's somebody working him? What the hell?
Jeez, right.
Aaron, where's that story about peeing in the ocean?
Oh, yeah. I've got it, Rich.
I got it, too.
Do you want me to send it to you, Gary?
I have it. Where's the long version? the enhanced version, because I highlighted some things I wanted to share with Tom and the audience here.
The numbers on this
here
are fascinating.
Here it is. Okay, so the other day, to set this up, when I was on vacation, we were in a beach house in Montauk, and I went down to the beach, and I had a number of beverages, and I said, okay, where's the bathroom? And everybody said, there's no bathroom here. No porta potty, nothing? No, you have to go back to the beach house, which wasn't that far. But I thought, all these people, there were several hundred people, they're probably not staying right next to the beach. Where are they going to the bathroom? Then I looked into the ocean. I thought, well, I know where they're going to the bathroom. So now this story comes out today.
Right.
Why it's okay to pee beside the seaside.
Yeah.
Urinating in the ocean is harmless and is actually good for marine life. Okay, that's number one. But what about hard lemonade? They didn't say anything about that, and these people must have been doing that, too, because they're not going to drive home every time they have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So it says, for example, the volume of the Atlantic Ocean is 350 quintillion liters. That's 18 zeros.
Right.
Apparently, even if everyone went to the toilet in the ocean, there would still be a minuscule 60 parts per trillion of urea in the water.
Right.
I love that by Deep Purple, that song. In addition, urea contains a lot of nitrogen, which combines with water to produce ammonium.
See,
ammonium, in turn, feeds ocean plant life, meaning it is actually beneficial. And finally, every animal in the ocean pees in the water. A whale, for example, can let out 970 liters of urine per day. Okay, but that's urine. What about, like I said, big potty? Don't pee in protected areas like reefs or smaller bodies of water like swimming pools. Really?
Well, that's true. Do people actually? I guess they do, huh? Do the whole thing?
And yes, that's what those. It had to be. They're not, because there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
They don't say what that's like, but again, if a whale's really gonna let it rip,
yeah,
and that doesn't seem to ruin anything, right?
That's true. And the same story says human urine is 95% water. And so that's kind of interesting, too.
That's what I learned on that movie, Driving Miss Daisy. I got to make water, Miss Daisy.
Right.
And that's why, because it's 95% water.
And then there's a survey they said was done that says that 62% admit to peeing in the ocean. So,
oh, yeah. I'm sure it's 98%.
Well, they said
9%.
They added in parenthesis with admit being the operative word, you know?
Yeah, so. Okay. All right, well,
but that's interesting.
Have at it.
I swear, what I'd like to know is, let's see, this was written by Ron Dicker of the Huffington Post. I think he's one of your listeners, Gary. You know,
Have you ever seen a story about that before?
No.
No,
we just talked
about it, and there it is.
Yeah, and you're on the Internet, so they can get you, you know, all over the world now.
How am I trending? Okay, just need to know if this thing's on.
Well, that's probably why you weren't trending yesterday, because it wasn't on.
That's right.
Because remember you were asking, and we were like, how come it's not in there?
Said, no, you're not in the top 20, and that's why. You got to be on to be trending. And 312-521-8600 is the text and phone number. What number am I?
We're number four.
Number four. On TuneIn?
How
number
about
four.
That?
See, when the show's on, it actually does.
It does well.
It does pretty well.
Got to have it on.
Right. Yeah, throw a little content out there and people will come, you know, so that's great.
And the other story, or I have a couple actually I want to bring up, and I know you hate the Farmer's Almanac because it's not scientific at all.
Right.
What about a plumber's almanac or a carpenter's almanac? Why only the farmers? Why are they such predictors?
Good point.
They are predicting a colder winter and warmer summer for much of the nation. I guess next summer? Is that what they're talking about? Because this just came out today.
Yeah. You know, the groundhog are,
really.
These are amusing. It was interesting. The state climatologist, Jim Angel, a colleague of mine, mentioned this yesterday, and he pointed out that last winter they had said it was going to be warmer and drier than normal or something, too. So there you go.
A lot of people that are planning events, weddings, et cetera, go to this silly little book and go, it's going to be fine. Good luck on that.
Right.
And they say that the eastern two-thirds of the country will be super cold.
Well, you know what? There are some of the same elements in place, namely that warm ocean in the Pacific, the ocean water that buckled the jet. I'm sure it contributed to that, and I think it's contributed to our cool summer as well. You marry that along with the warming that's going on in the Arctic, and you get these wavy jet stream patterns, and once they develop, they hang around for a while. So it's one of the ways climate change, I think, is impacting our weather here.
Are you saying that there are patterns right now that indicate that we could have a polar vortex like last year?
Well, some of the same elements are still in place. The big wild card is this El Nino, which looks like it's going to be a weak one, and therefore not the kind that it sends warm air barreling across the country and cuts down on our snowfall like strong El Niños do. You know, when you hear El Nino, there are different types of El Niños, and this is one that doesn't tend to warm us up as much. So if we default back to that, the effects of that warm ocean buckling the jet stream over western North America like it did last winter, then you have some of the ingredients in place that produced last winter. But some of them. And we've got to look at this a little bit more in the next month or two.
You can't really
nail
that down for what, a couple more months?
Yeah, and you know what, Gary? You know very well that seasonal forecasting is not something that we as a profession do with a great deal of skill. There are just so many factors that go into seasonal weather that it's very, very tricky. A lot of things can influence it. But I would have told you this summer was going to be fairly warm. I thought we were going to turn this around. Well, it's been anything but. It's been kind of an average summer, and July was actually downright cool. So June was above normal, and I think before August is over, we may end up above normal, too. By the way, this warm spell coming in, too, the winds are going to turn off the lake Saturday, and that's going to deep six any 90s that we get in the city on Saturday. So what we've done is push the warmth. It looks like what will happen is the warmth will develop in later in the weekend and into early next week, and there'll be some cooling along the lake each of those days. So, you know, it'll be hot tomorrow in the afternoon if we can get the sun out. And then it cools off with an east wind off the lake Saturday, and we're talking 89 way inland and low 80s on the shoreline. And then we go up to the low 90s on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, it looks like.
Hey, I turned the air conditioner on last night. Neck was getting sweaty.
Yeah,
and
it's very
humid. Rarely turn it on. But
that is interesting.
I was happy to do it. That meant it was warm out, humid. I like it.
Yeah, it's going to stay humid. We could have some fog and low clouds coming in along the lakefront. You know, and that'll be kind of this warm fog, relatively speaking. So I would imagine nighttime lows won't get much below 70 degrees even at the lakefront.
Are they going to get that truncated Cubs game in and then the night game?
Well,
that'll
be interesting.
Not that it impacts anything I do anymore, but for those people who are curious.
Well, the radar is full of stuff right now, full of rain out to the west and north of us. And we're in a corridor where any one of these storms could pop and with some vigor. So we're outlook for possible severe weather, and we also may have another corridor, much as we did this morning in some areas, because it gets very heavy rain.
Well, as long as they have the tarp, they're fine.
Right.
Because they do such a good job there.
Right. Well, let's hit Yakety Sacks. Here we go. Only the Cubs could have that happen, and now it's viral, and they're going to get mocked for that. That is just too much. I mean, and then they had Darth Vader throw the pitch out last night. I thought, wow, that's going to bring some more weird juju, I think.
Well, it was Star Wars night yesterday.
So what does that mean?
You're supposed to dress up like your favorite Star Wars character.
And did people do it? I didn't see it.
I didn't see
it. How did Darth do? Did he get it over the plate?
I don't know. With all that robe and cape.
If I had that plastic mask on, right, I couldn't see what I was throwing at.
And he had a stormtrooper standing next to him. It was
right.
And I'm thinking, if you drill deeper into this, you've got the lakefront property for a dollar that George Lucas got to put up his little museum. Mm-hmm. And here are the Ricketts trying to get all this stuff up with their own money, and they can't get anything. That would be my thought, but maybe I'm going a little too deep into this.
No, I think once again, Gary, as you always do, you stumble into the truth.
By the way, here's what's beating me on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, 97.1, The Ticket with Valenti and Foster.
Oh.
I don't know where that's at.
Yeah.
BBC Radio 4, Inside Science. And number one right now is Omen FM, English. That's all it says. I don't know what that is.
Why would a science program be beating us? We've talked about urinating in the ocean and the weather.
Well,
and
maybe we'll move up.
Seasonal weather. I know we should be going after that demographic. You know.
But I'm right above 97.7 Today's Hits, Justin Timberlake, Mirror, whatever. And
they probably just wanted to see if Justin was behaving himself. That's all.
3AW, Breakfast with Ross and John.
Uh-huh.
That's right below me.
Breakfast. So that must be somewhere around the globe.
Hey, this is worldwide.
Yeah, that's somewhere where it's about 12 hours ahead.
I'm shaking the dust off of this little town.
Either that or, what is it, John and Shay? Is that their name?
That's probably in Australia.
John and Ross.
Oh, John and Ross.
Yeah.
They must have had a tough night if they were. Of course, that's in our time zone, as you say. That's probably somewhere else.
Yeah, that's
probably
that
around
could be
the world.
Australia, and they're just having breakfast.
Right. Either that or they had a night on the town and got up late or something.
Yep. That's that. And then this story about the volcano, the Bar Darbunga volcano in Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with that? That could affect some weather, huh?
Well, you know, if you get a big enough volcanic eruption, you put all this, you know, these aerosols in the atmosphere, and you change the turbidity or the dirtiness of the atmosphere, and that changes the reflectivity of the atmosphere, and therefore the amount of sunlight that gets in to warm things up. So volcanoes can, if they're big enough, but they've got to be big. And they've also got to discharge their ash way into the atmosphere. I mean, it can't be one of these little things. It's got to shoot it up 30,000 feet.
Yes.
And then the upper winds take it and distribute it around the planet. And that's when you get the whole planet reflecting away some of the incoming sunlight and cooling off.
Nice ash. Over by Iceland, over by there, the Bar Darbunga.
Hey, at least this is a
dude.
A volcano that you can pronounce. Remember that one that went off that messed up the air traffic across Europe, and nobody could pronounce it. So everybody always referred to it as that Icelandic volcano. Yeah.
E-Y-J-A-F. J-A-L-L-A-J-O-K-U-L-L. That was the one.
Yeah. Can you believe it? You think English is hard?
That looks like the eye chart at my eye doctor's office. E-Y-J...
Can't you throw a vowel in there somewhere?
Exactly. At least give us a chance. I know. Yeah, it's pretty... You know how you can go online and get these audio pronunciation guides and all? So even going on there and listening to that, you had a hard time remembering how to pronounce the thing. It was something.
This text says, where do you think the water in your toilet eventually goes to? Well, it does end up in the lake, but they put it through filters and things before that.
Right.
Yeah, that's not going directly. This is not India.
That's true, but on the other hand, they find out that pharmaceuticals are getting through that whole treatment process and showing up in lake water.
Right.
So.
Do not throw old pills in the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah, throw those in the garbage where a landfill can seep them up, and then it goes down to the water table. But that takes longer.
Or those things that take the skin off, you know, when they put those little plastic things in the creams and all that are the exfoliants.
What?
Did you hear that?
No.
Apparently, the process by which they clean water can't get those out.
What is it that...
Well, you know how you get exfoliating creams? Is that the way you pronounce it? That take off skin, you know, the dead top layer of skin, you... clean with it.
Okay.
And at any rate, they use these little plastic pieces and all in there that are distributed in the cream that you put on your face to clean this dead skin off. Well, apparently this stuff can't be strained out by the process by which they treat wastewater. So this is showing up in water samples and all, and it's really, I guess, having quite a problem.
All right. Well, what am I going to do with my rough heels?
My pumice stone.
I got some rough skin.
I know. Well, you're apparently going to have to, we're just going to have to live with rough skin or something.
After I fractured my ankle, I had a cast, and when it came off, all that skin was, and you just start, I won't get into it, but it looked like I could have used that for a snow scene.
Oh, I know. And then you itch on those things, you know, and you're trying to get a coat hanger down there and all the rest.
Yeah.
My brother broke his back one time in a soccer game in high school, and I remember they had him in a half-body cast, and, he was terrible. He had a heck of a time. You kind of bent these.
How long did he have the cast on?
About 9 months, 8-9 months. Oh, it was awful.
I remember reading a story, Isabella Rossellini, is that her name?
Yeah.
Yes.
Blue Velvet.
Right. She broke her back or something, and she was in a full body cast for a long time. And she said after they cut it off, she found that she had to keep it and crawl back in it because she got so used to being in the cast that for a while she had to crawl back in it to sleep and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like a cocoon.
That's pretty weird. You know that? I think I'd get some help or talk to somebody about that, wouldn't you? If you felt like you had to crawl back into your cast again.
Trending at number five, Tommy, and the fact is, I hope Justin Timberlake, 97.7 Today's Hits, isn't beating me.
Well,
wherever that is,
you'll just have to integrate Justin Timberlake news into our little discussion every afternoon. I can do the weather outside his home in Miami or wherever he's living now. You know.
It says on this text, yesterday at 3:28, Leslie told you that you were trending number three. You were off the air for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, Leslie, I think she knows I'm fragile, and she'll just tell
me anything. She just says that all the time. You're number three.
To boost me.
You're number five right now. I would never lie.
Yeah, all right.
But that shows how much people were trying to
find you. Well, you know, the one thing about measuring an audience on the Internet, I think that's probably pretty precise, you know, don't you?
Yeah.
I think better than the systems that we use over the air.
Right.
Because those involve diaries and medical, you know, electronic sensors and all the rest.
So inaccurate.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing well. That was always the funny thing. When the ratings would come out and some people would be down, they go, well, it's a diary. People have to write that and they don't do it. And da da da. And then I said, well, if you're doing well, then they're accurate. Oh, yeah, they're very accurate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
right.
accurate.
Sure.
Yeah, it was kind of a, hey, you got to accept all of it.
I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but Oman FM is kicking your booty.
Yeah, we saw that. What is that?
I don't know.
That was number one. Is it still number one?
Yep, Oman FM.
It says English. It's an English show.
Hmm.
Oman FM.
Well, we got to figure out what they're doing. That's
could be that. Could be a revolution show.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Death to America. La, 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 la.
Well, at 3:30, they usually have their daily jihad. So
yeah.
And they want it in English so that we infidels can hear.
Yeah,
we're joking, all you Omanis out there who are fabulous people.
Yeah, they announce who they're going to hate.
All right, Tom, I'll let you go.
All right,
Gary. I know you're busy. I appreciate when you do go longer. But
oh, Gary, it's always a pleasure talking to you. I'm glad everything's working today.
And the Tribune, good. You and Tom are together today.
Oh, did you see the print ad in the Tribune today?
No, I do know. I've missed that again.
Yeah.
I look at
your
the page.
Your picture is on top of my picture.
Good. Mm-hmm. How about that? I think that's terrific.
Well, that means they seem like they're going to keep me. That's good.
I think so, Gary.
Why would they go to that trouble otherwise?
I agree.
Well, you're golden. I mean, they're going to keep you.
One never counts his chickens before they're hatched, you know.
Yakety sacks, you never know.
That's right.
You walk in one day and you hear this going off in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
You don't know. So I hope your microphone works. And Micah, did she do something with your tie last night?
No, why? What happened?
Oh, somebody said that she was fiddling with your tie to get your microphone working or something.
Oh!
No?
She may very well have. You know, when something goes, you know, when you hear that crackling and all, everything else kind of fades into the background, you know. And you're just worried about, are people hearing this? Or, you know, what should I do at this point? And you see the stage manager start walking off in the distance. So you think, are they going to hand another mic or something like that? So it kind of takes your mind off the flow of things.
Yeah. All right, Tom.
Gary, good to talk to you.
Talk to you tomorrow at 3.
You bet.
Gary Meyer on the 50 million watt streamliner. Is he dead? Is that why his vocals came out?
No, it's just a fast one.
A fast one? You don't know how much instrumental?
No, it's about, usually you come in a lot quicker.
You need a lot.
Comes in about
45 seconds minimum.
45?
45.
But you've been coming in at about 8 or 9.
I know, but I don't want any vocals, because the only time vocals come through is when somebody's dead.
No, okay.
And you're paying some kind of
homage.
This
is about a 10 or 9 second one. Usually, you've been coming in.
That's not enough.
Oh, okay. Well, you've been coming in real fast.
I'm making notes and things. Okay. I need at least 45 seconds of a pad.
45, wow.
312-521-8600. Some texts have come in concerning that first half hour. It's an optometrist, not eye doctor. What do you call your proctologist?
The ass man.
Ass man. Eye doctor isn't correct?
It's an eye doctor. Of course it is.
Maybe he's working something there, and I fell for it.
Because you would say then, what is he, an ass doctor? I mean,
sperm whales are in the ocean, too, you know. They let stuff out. Microbeads. Tom was talking about that stuff they use as exfoliant, and it has microbeads. They're inhaled by fish. They get caught in their gills.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're just dumping a lot of bad stuff in the water. What's going to happen when Tom starts doing the news at 4 p.m.?
Right.
They're going to do a 4 o'clock.
Yeah, what is going to happen? Do you know?
Well,
if you talk to
him, fear, but I'm going to try to hold on to him, because I'm sure they're going to make a case that he's got to get started preparing, but he's there early. Maybe he can have it all prepared and just swing into that 4 o'clock. Unless there's some really bad weather, they're going to say, we need him.
Why, do you get a sense that there's an aversion to have him do this?
That was kind of given to me, at least by my management, when they switched me from the AM to this. They said, we got to cut Tom at 6 because they think he's working him too hard.
Has something against us?
They kind of said that.
Oh.
And I know Tom does a lot of other things. I don't doubt that. It's just I'd like to hang on to this because, again, used to have him for 3 and 6, and that got cut. We'll see.
Yeah, that's only a couple of weeks.
Yeah, right after Labor Day.
September, right? Yeah.
And then somebody sent me the website to Oman FM to see what that's all about. I don't have time to check it out now, but Oman FM is, at least a few minutes ago, was trending number one on TuneIn. Now, there's also iHeart, there's WGN.FM, so that's just one platform.
Right.
So I feel pretty good about that, and then people that pull me up on their computer where it's not tabulated. necessarily, or maybe it is.
Yeah, I mean, you could be number one on iHeart all the time. You're just using TuneIn for some reason.
Right.
You should be using...
Somebody said...
Why don't you use all of them?
TuneIn was the best as far as it doesn't buffer as much. And iHeart is owned by CBS. That's theirs.
Ouch.
And this technically is competition, although they would run their own ads and things when you pull it up. But they own iHeart. Think about that.
How are you spelling it? Like A-M-E-N-F-M?
No, O-M-A-N.
Oh.
O-M-A-N-F-M. He's number one, or she, or whatever that is.
Oh, you think it's a guy?
I don't know. I don't know. And let's see what other texts have come in here. I'm trying to eat lunch here, huh? That was when we were talking about doing stuff in the ocean. And if you're just joining the program, it's okay, because your number one is 95% water. And all those fish are doing it. But I thought when they closed our beaches here, they said one of the problems, in addition to releasing raw sewage, was all the seagulls going and dropping their stuff in there.
That's got to be.
But they didn't say anything about hard lemonade. They just said number one. That's what I'm talking about.
Remember when you used to read the fecal greaseball degrees?
Yes.
What was that?
That was when they had that raw sewage released into the lake after a big rain. And that stuff is out there. So that obviously doesn't break down well, because they would close the beaches.
Yeah.
No biatches at the beaches for several days.
So the urine, you had said the urine doesn't hurt
the fish. That's what it said in this article.
It doesn't hurt the fish.
No.
But what about us? What if you swim under the water?
They say it breaks down pretty quickly. But again, that's number one. Here's something unrelated. I went to pay my Discover bill this morning at Sears with cash and was told Discover no longer accepts cash as a form of payment.
It's nice. Well, they're a credit card company.
Right.
They don't want real money.
They despise cash. Although, you're right about that cash thing. It seems to be less popular. And I thought cash was king, still do. When people ask me in my family, what do you want for your birthday or Christmas? Cash. That's all I want.
Well, I think people are very leery because of the counterfeiting thing. It is getting a lot more sophisticated. And, I mean, my gosh, when they start checking $20 bills with that little marker.
I'm glad you brought that up, because the other day I paid with a 20, and this girl, she put it through all kinds of tests. And I'm thinking, there must be a lot of bad 20s out there.
I got a 50, which surprised me. I got a 50 out of an ATM. I asked for $100, they gave me $250s, and I was not happy about that. Because
now you're really into who's going to take a 50?
I've had it for 4 weeks.
Well, I find I don't spend it as much.
I
want to keep that 50.
I haven't spent it.
I told the story about I wanted to break this 100. I don't know why I got it from somebody or something, whatever. Nobody's going to take 100. So I went to a bank, and as soon as I handed it to the teller, she went back into the manager's office. He came out. He gave me a look, and then he held it up to the light, and then they rubbed some pen across it. And I'm not going to go to a bank with a fake 100. That's the last place I'm going to go.
I don't know what I'm going to do with this $50 bill. I don't know, because I went somewhere the other day.
Take it to a bank. They'll break it for you.
And I was going to go to like a convenience store, and then I'm like, they're going to give me a hard time.
But you're right about the 20s.
Yeah.
They're checking the 20s now.
All the time. Used to be 100. That
was
the one they would check.
I'm a counterfeiter. I'm making singles.
Oh,
because they're going to let those go through.
Yeah.
And just don't spend them wildly. Just every now and then, let them out.
Because it would be really inconvenient for the strippers to have a marker once you stick it in the G-string.
Right.
So you can get rid of those with no problem. They're not going to be marking those as you put them in the G-string.
Yeah, but you're not getting anything back. The whole point is, as a counterfeiter, to get real currency back.
I'm getting a free lap dance.
Okay. Attention, you junior counterfeiters, go to strip clubs, because you're going to get a free lap dance. Because it's
a
fake 20.
Free money.
Although now, I picture on her thong, she's going to have one of those pens on a little chain.
Right.
Let me check that before you get out of here.
Right in the middle of her swinging on the pole, she stops in midair and goes, hey.
Or she's on the stage with her legs akimbo right in front of those guys having a a Harvey Wallbanger.
And she pulls her marker out.
Yeah, let me check that before you get out of here. That's why you should just do singles. It doesn't disrupt the dance number as much.
One thing I did want to ask you is, why did you pay your property tax bill in person?
Because I'm old school. Yeah. I like to go. I like to get the receipt.
Okay. Because, I mean, they send that to you in the mail.
I can do a lot of things with the mail, city stickers and stuff. I just want to do it.
Is that
have
a pain in the butt to do?
No.
Because mine was lost in the mail.
Well, why are you questioning me? You sent it through the mail and it got lost.
No. My bill got lost. I noticed that everybody was getting their bills and I hadn't gotten it. So I called and I said, hey, it's been, you know, it's due in a week and a half. I was waiting. Maybe it got slowed down. So I said, well, what do I do? And she said, well, you can pay online or you can come downtown and pay at what, Clark Street somewhere?
At City Hall.
Oh, that's where you pay?
Yeah.
So I was thinking of doing that, and then thankfully she did drop one in the mail. It got to me in time,
yeah,
and so I mailed it. But I thought, oh, is there going to be a huge line? It's going to be a pain in the butt, but
no,
it really wasn't?
No.
It's
really, and I think a lot of people do it by mail or whatever, but took all of, in fact, I actually
timed. You didn't pay in cash, did you?
No.
Pulled out a big bag.
Just because I have a burner phone, I don't go that route with everything.
Okay.
In fact, I do this thing where once I enter City Hall, I start running in my head how long it takes, and I think I'm in and out in 30 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah, 30 to 45 seconds. That's with looking at the previous person's bill.
Right.
I took a glance. It was in this little
holder.
So
there was no, what do? You just go up to a counter?
You walk in the city clerk's office. Somebody's right. Actually standing there going, are you paying your property tax? Yes. You're paying by check? Yes. Right here. And 30 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because I would actually prefer that, because it is a nice little amount.
You're down here anyway. Just walk over there and do it.
Well, it's kind of it's a nice amount, too, to put in the mail. You know.
Well, the funny thing with this deposit today, when I got there, there was only one teller working in this particular area, and there was a guy sitting there that she was taking care of. And as soon as I walk in, he says to the teller, you're probably glad I came today, huh? Meaning something was going to take a long time. So she sees me and she goes, is it a deposit? I said, yeah. She goes, you want me just to mail you the receipt? No. I'm here because I want a receipt.
Yeah.
That's when this other woman kicked in, and then that whole Benny Hill scenario went into effect.
I'd have to. Maybe I'll do that from now on. Because I've always.
I just like to do
I've always
things
felt
in person.
Strange, because you know, that's a pretty good check that you send in the mail there.
Yeah, the mail, kind of a crapshoot when you're doing important things. I don't have any problem with it. I like going and getting the receipt and having it all done in my head.
I thought it would just be, bureaucracy hell. But you're saying that there's no line.
No.
Oh.
Not in the times I've gone.
Oh, that's cool.
It's very efficient.
Are you going right?
They're getting some money from you, so they want to make it as efficient as possible.
Are you going right close up to the deadline?
Not that close.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
I mean, within a few days,
right.
But again, they want to move things along. They're getting your money, and this city needs all the money it can get.
Because I was getting paranoid because we were going out of town, and it was due on August 1st, and we were leaving on the 26th, and I was like, I'm not. If I don't get this in the mail, I'm not coming home till the 9th, and now I'm,
when it's like that,
you're
going to put it in the mail.
Right.
No.
So I'll have to think.
The person who said that they went to pay their Discover bill, and they wouldn't take cash, and she just texted me, but can cash be refused as it is legal tender?
Yeah, how could they refuse that?
Well, when you're flying Southwest, they don't take cash for the drinks anymore.
Yeah, nobody does. And at first, that's all they did, if you remember.
Right.
When they first did it, they didn't have the ability to swipe the card.
They want these flight attendants to now be in charge of cash and account for that when the flight, that's what they figured was a hassle. So they got rid of it.
And remember how they were making change when you give them the 20. They were making change on the plane.
I don't drink alcohol on planes. I'm not going to get into that. If I have to start drinking on the plane, it's a long, long flight. But for a 50-minute flight, I got to start goosing it up. What's wrong with me? Bilbo should break the 50 into change and then throw it in the street like he does.
Well, I'm just afraid no one's going to break it. Because, I mean, I have to buy something substantial.
50s and 100s, you two aren't relating to your audience.
Oh, here we go again. Hey, it wasn't my fault. I wanted a nice double sawbuck.
That's how much Bibble makes a week.
Yeah.
So he gets a 50, feels
I could not believe it when two 50s came out of the machine. I was like, come on. What am I going to do with this? This isn't money.
It's nice to have all that free time to do your banking in person. Oh, yeah. It's a luxury.
Gosh, you can't do anything without getting some kind of
blowback. It's all unrelatable.
Here you are being a nice citizen by paying your property tax, helping the school system and everything else. They're giving you a hard time. Wow, you can actually go to the place and actually wait in line.
My God, you're elite. Jeez. When does it end?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't want to go to the bathroom in the ocean. How does that relate?
My gosh, unless you just... What? Apparently, according to this audience, anything you do is elite.
These are the same texters that are just pulling the leg.
I know, but it's funny.
All right, 312-521-8600. And speaking of the Cubs, as I was briefly before, for whatever reason, the schedule this summer.
Oh.
If you enjoy this show, and I hope you do, you're here, you made an effort, you would have been getting very little of it because they had a lot of East Coast games.
In a row
like where it would have been on to maybe 5:30, and something like today where they're going to be playing from 4. That would have been it, an hour show.
Right.
But a lot of preemptions.
Now, do you think that it was always like that? You never noticed it because you were enjoying the time off?
No. Or? I kind of, this summer, because didn't have it, I kind of took mental notes and thought, wow, there's a lot of preemption. And Leslie, you would know because you worked that other show.
Every time you see me in here a lot, that's one of those.
But does it seem this year like it's any more than it has been in previous years? Because that's the point that Gary's
making. I think maybe just because we're not seeing a lot of day games.
Well, and they added more of those 3 o'clock Friday games.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
and they're going to be, well, it doesn't matter anymore.
You got run. Got about a month.
The 90-year run is over in about six weeks.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what next year brings.
That is going to be strange, huh? WGN and the Cubs.
No longer.
Wow.
All right, well, this is a different animal.
This is the future.
This is a.
That's what it says in your ad. It says the future is now.
Right in the Tribune ad.
Are you having to pay for those?
I got to look at my check. Maybe they're.
I'm wondering if they're docking you.
Wait, what is this? Oh, those ads? You're paying for them.
Because now that's what, two and 2 weeks?
Yeah.
No, the other one was Monday.
And
of this week? One was Monday of this week, yeah.
It wasn't last week?
Mm-mm.
Oh, wow.
And very conspicuously placed, no doubt.
Yeah,
I mean,
page two.
That's pretty cool.
And today it was right underneath the Tom.
And
he was a power bottom.
Yeah, we switch off.
That makes you a catcher.
That's why
I
wear my handkerchief in the left pocket. Is that right?
Okay, or
my
earring, cruising, huh? Mr. Cruising.
Or my earring in the right ear.
Yeah, remember that movie with Al Pacino?
Yeah. All right. My wife, Gloria, and I will be at the Jamesons in Huntley.
We love to hit the onion rings.
The Oster, the man of onus.
Don't you miss Orion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's always fun, you know, the legend.
Sure.
Nice guy.
The Beatles of agriculture. Portillo's breaks big bills. Some Subways, too. There's always Rivers Casino. The new hundreds don't need a pen. How can they tell if they're not counterfeit then? What do? Just hold them up to the light?
Watermarks,
I know,
and the holograms and plastic strips.
I know, but even with all that, I see some cashier look at my 20 like it's made out of rubber.
And when you give them a 50, then it looks like the whole world stops. They look at you. They stop in their tracks. They're like, oh, is this real money? Do I need to call somebody?
Here's a text at 312-521-8600. Can you forward me the next topic so I have more time to formulate a complaint to send in? I wish I knew that far in advance.
Well, page 20 of the script.
I kind of do.
Page 20 of the script. You just send them that.
Yeah, I'll send that right away. A story that I thought, wow, I didn't know this altogether. The NFL is thinking of charging the halftime acts.
That is unbelievable.
Now, I didn't know that they didn't pay them in the first place. That's done because of the exposure.
Right.
You do that because you know if you head out on tour right after.
Or put a new album out,
You do anything after that, it will probably be rewarded. I always assumed, somebody told me, it was somebody I think I worked with, that the people that host the Academy Awards, this person said, I think they make about $1 million. And then I read where they make, I think, around $5,000, $10,000.
Just to do...
It's one of those things where it's a prestigious thing to be asked, so they can get away with that. But it's not what you think. And in my mind, and I know some of you think that certain people make a fortune doing whatever that is because it's so neat and shiny and popular. But I didn't know that these Super Bowl acts didn't make anything. It's just for the exposure. Now, the NFL is thinking, why don't we actually charge them? And...
And it's for on future gain,
yes,
right?
It's not just, oh, it's $100,000 to play. It's a percentage. This is just in the talking stages.
Yeah.
Aaron, where's that? Oh, here it is.
This is
league
crazy.
Representatives also asked at least if some of the acts would be willing to contribute a portion of their post-Super Bowl tour income to the league, if they would make some other type of financial contribution in exchange for the halftime gig.
Why? This is where I can't wrap my head around the fact, isn't the NFL a nonprofit organization?
I think
so
you're right.
So this whole thing just...
What do you mean nonprofit? How could it be nonprofit?
It's considered a nonprofit.
I'll tell you what.
Well, they're not under the antitrust, but they're a profit.
Well,
the National Football League takes in more than $9.5 billion per year and is exempt from federal taxes.
Right,
as a nonprofit, it earns more.
How about
more.
That?
Non. Well, then, what does that mean?
Who structured this? They're brilliant.
Well, then,
what it means is, at the end of the year, they show nothing.
They show nothing.
So they make no money.
Well,
in that
somehow
in that business way that you make, like in Hollywood, how the movies make no money.
How much is the Super Bowl halftime show worth to performers? Last year, Bruno Mars and the Red Hot Chili Peppers were on stage for about 12 minutes. With commercial time valued at $4 million per 30-second slot, that's nearly $100 million worth of publicity for a band.
So they're asking them if they... It's almost like they're asking for a donation. This is a very weird... I mean, don't both sides benefit? Because if we have a cool halftime show for your show, then more people will watch.
Eyes on
the
screens,
NFL
right.
has apparently narrowed the list of potential halftime performers to Coldplay, Katy Perry, and Rihanna.
That's the part that got me. No Weird Al.
You want weird.
I do. I'm all on the weird bandwagon.
He was so nice when I met him.
He was charming. He still is. He's a lovely family man.
Oh, brother.
This could be interesting to see who would. Now, again, as it's been pointed out, it's $100 million worth of publicity. So
yeah, but
what kind of deal you strike for that, I don't know.
Yeah, but how?
But how can you say
that's fake? That's fake.
What degree this is playing into any future fame?
Yeah, you can't. There's no way you could put a dollar
you know
amount
what?
On that.
Well, then you won't be playing the halftime show.
I'm not.
I guess.
No, if they
think
ask,
of Janet
I'm not
Jackson.
Doing it.
She really had almost no work after the Super Bowl. I haven't seen her do anything huge since then.
Oh, it's just a big hassle because of the nipple gate.
Right. Well, you know what's so funny is before I would think it's around the early '90s. The halftime show used to be marching bands. I mean, there was no high profile.
When this discussion came up in the office, when this story popped, we looked up what the halftime entertainment was, and not that long ago, you're right, it was magicians.
91 or something. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was all kinds of stuff you could see at any state fair.
It wasn't this big
to-do. Now it's a big deal, and now they're thinking, wait, it's such a big deal, we can get people to pay for this.
So they don't get enough money.
I slipped there. Papal might be the way to go. Get the Pope. Maybe the Pope comes out for halftime and just does a bunch of blessing.
We already know he can pull a crowd.
Yeah. You get the Pope, huh?
Speaking a few languages. Get a little incense.
Okay. Get ready. Everything's upside down. And when they came to Coldplay, Katy Perry or Rihanna, maybe... Yakety Sax went off in their head.
I wonder. So now, what happens if those three say, screw you?
Weird Al. And he could have a marching band. There's a talent that could really tie it all together.
Okay, you want, when the going gets weird, you want weird.
Why not? Because, honestly, I don't see how Rihanna is going to fill a stadium.
Well, the stadium's already full. It's not like
you mean afterwards on tour. She's already on tour.
I
and
know.
Filling stadiums. She's touring with Eminem.
Yeah.
Rihanna,
but that's it.
Rihanna's
but she's
huge.
Also,
I don't know if you've heard, but she's...
Yeah, I know.
Shines like a diamond.
She's diamond.
And that's a problem. I just don't think she's that great a singer.
312-521-8600.
Weird Al, you do.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that says a lot, doesn't
it? Is that
a
skew?
Did I mention that he's covered just about every huge pop song for the last 35 years?
It doesn't take any talent. You can get the Billboard magazine.
It seems to me, and now that we know all this, does a Paul McCartney need... Well, I guess he's being exposed to people that don't know Beatles or Paul McCartney, but does he need that to sell tickets?
No.
If he didn't do that, his tour wouldn't sell.
So if I'm Paul McCartney, why would I give money up? I'm going to make that money anyway. Your thing is
now he was
me.
in the you just play for free and whatever benefit you get. But if they approached him now and said you got to give us a portion of your touring,
that's crazy.
I doubt if he'd do that.
That's just well because what's happened is that what they do now, strategic standpoint is. They will sell their concert tickets a week or two after their Super Bowl thing. So they appear on the Super Bowl, and then 2 weeks later they announce their tour.
Right.
And
okay.
If you didn't have a tour plan, you make sure you've got one.
Or an album.
Out.
Let me ask you this. If there was no Super Bowl entertainment, would you not watch the Super Bowl?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
It's its own deal.
You don't care...
One way or another, for the most part, you're going to still watch it.
Right.
It's a whole thing for the game.
I mean, you know,
a few extra commercials could be played during that time.
I don't think they have to worry about doing any entertainment if they really want to get down to it, because it's going to be a well-watched show anyway.
I mean, yeah, you've got a captive audience. No one's turning away to watch. Well, you're going to watch the Puppy Bowl.
Halftime show when the Bears played. Was up with people.
That's what I mean. It was 86. It was goofiness. It wasn't any kind of high-profile event.
A friend of mine who was part of Up With People, because there were so many of them and they would play these stadiums and large venues, they were Up With People because otherwise they'd be popping their peas on all the microphones. So you had to sing Up With People. You see, it's wherever you go.
Hey, Lou Ferrigno, thank you. Mickey Rooney performed at halftime in the 70s. He got up there and went, my fifth wife, Barbara, was murdered.
Murdered. Mickey Rooney?
Yeah. Well.
What did he do?
There was.
Well, he was a singer and dancer.
He did a soft shoe run there
where it was all kinds of acts like that. Again, the Super Bowl is its own deal. It doesn't need anybody.
Well, most football games have marching bands at halftime. That's what it is. That's what it always was.
Well, and now when you consider where our TV talent is coming from, in the future, will we have like a Honey Boo Boo or...
Bethany.
Bethany, exactly.
The cast
Some
of
Duck Dynasty,
Survivor.
Duck Dynasty and a Bachelor and a Bachelorette, yeah.
NFL net income is passed back to the teams. Team owners pay the taxes just like an S-Corp. Okay.
Would it be cool to show... Like the final episode of The Bachelor in the last 15 minutes as the halftime show?
The Bachelor?
Yeah, like, you know, everybody watches for the final rose, right? So why wouldn't The Bachelor
wrap up
their final thing at the halftime show of the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
What network is it on?
I don't know, but I'm just thinking now.
To tie into one of their shows.
Yeah. You know, instead of having a musical act, which people always debate, what if you had... The final episode of blank when something is determined.
Right. Well, I'm sure
kind of a cool idea.
They've been pitched on all kinds of things. And the fact that they don't pay any money in the first place and they're looking to make money.
Okay. That is outrageous.
They should just have infomercials. OxyClean, just start brokering that out.
I mean, that takes a lot of guts to say.
Well, it's the NFL. Come on.
They've been
walking with a lot of swagger for many, many years.
We not only want you to perform for free, but then we want some of your future gain based on some number that they're just making up that we're giving you $100 million worth of free.
Well,
how can you say that?
Because, like I said, commercial time, $4 million per 30 seconds. 12 minutes, that's about $100 million. if you were to buy it. That's how they'd say it. If you were to buy that time, it would cost you $100 million.
But, you know, if any of those three bands you just named, that's not going to affect me one bit. I'm not going to see them.
Okay. So I don't know why they think the halftime show has that much traction. I mean, we talk about it and everything, but it's because it's there. If it's not there, the game still goes on.
You do something else. They could be showing highlights.
As this text says, shorten halftime, flop a boob out, and back to the game.
Let's go.
I mean, really, have a shorter halftime and go right back to the game.
Because now it's – I mean, usually, don't forget, halftime used to only be 15, 20 minutes. Now it's a half hour because of that.
Right, because they have to set up, take down.
That's why the game lasts, you know, that whole game now is
I'll
a 5-6-hour event.
Put a big a big booth out there and blow money up and have people grab money. I'll watch that. I mean, shoot the puck. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm going to watch anyway.
Have a 15-minute version of Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. Really. Don't overthink this, NFL.
Yeah. I mean,
we're not that hard to please as far as the game and everything. We're already there. It's the middle of winter in the winter states.
Right.
We're pretty much stuck with this.
Just be grateful that you've got one of the biggest yearly television events. If the network's able to charge $3 or $4 million for 30 seconds, you know darn well that that network, how much is a network paying for the rights? They're making more than enough money.
Put a dunk tank out there with some especially ugly politicians that we're tired of and have at it.
Man, I would,
I'm going to do that dunk tank with the gang still. That's another moneymaker. I assume that gangs kill each other because somebody's taking somebody's turf, and that is drugs, whatever they're doing, and it's all about the money. So you set up a dunk tank and charge $5, $10 a throw, and these gangs can have at it, and they'll split the house. And the other thing, this 9-year-old that was shot multiple times, how about water balloon fights? We used to do that during the summer. Just get some water balloons. And enough with the guns already.
And they were saying, you know, I mean, I don't, I guess I have to say this, but the initial report was they weren't sure if the kid was the intended
they
target.
They say that.
How could a 9-year-old be the intended target?
Some of these kids join gangs at a very young age. Let's go to the dunk tanks and the water balloon fights as a start. Down in Ferguson, we're going all water balloons until everybody calms down.
And so,
Jim?
Nobody's up riled about this 9-year-old, though, right?
Well, they should be.
Yeah. How come?
Yeah, the people that are down in Ferguson don't make a move up here. Yeah. Hello, Jim. You're on the blower.
Good afternoon. You know, the whole Super Bowl halftime thing flipped when before Fox was an NFL partner, they had in living color had kind of cut in and did a live spot during halftime of the Super Bowl to kind of counter program what was going on in the Super Bowl. And after that, all of a sudden, the NFL said, hey, wait a second, we can actually put something, you know, in the Super Bowl halftime show that people see. And from that point on, when they started having much bigger acts perform at the Super Bowl halftime.
In Living Color, the TV show.
Yeah, with Damon Wayans and Keenan Ivory Wayans.
Yeah.
They had done a live, like I said, they had done something to where they timed it live to be, you know, right during the Super Bowl halftime.
I think they can really put just about anything in there, and we're golden because we're there for the game. The halftime is just waiting and going to the bathroom and getting back for the second half. And it really has been kind of the tail wagging the dog as far as, oh, we're supposed to watch the halftime because you've got Madonna and she might do what? They super hype it, so you think, well, I guess I got to watch it because they're telling me to. But beyond that, if there's no halftime show, all right. I'm over by the dip. I'll be there if you need me. Yeah. I got some wings, some dip. What am I worried about here? Thank you, Jim.
All right.
And let's not assume that this will always be a boost, because if you remember, the Who a few years ago was really bad. If you remember that performance.
Bad because what?
I don't know why. They were just off. They just didn't gel. And so all I'm saying is that wouldn't have sold many tickets.
Well, that's the risk the act takes if they can't pull that off properly. Here's a suggestion. put Justin Bieber in a boxing ring and let people pay to have at him. That I'd watch too. There are all kinds of ways to go here, and
yeah, music
doesn't have to be music.
It doesn't need to be music. It really doesn't.
All right, well.
I just think that's an outrageous request.
It's an outrageous?
It's
ridiculous?
It's ridiculous.
Coldplay paying for the privilege of being on that stage?
They didn't give you the money to pay. They didn't pay you for that.
They want you to pay them? Part of your touring? No, sir.
Man, come on. There's no way that's going to
fly.
But
you telling me that Katy Perry can't sell tickets?
That's what I mean.
These aren't acts that are on the ropes. See, they want the A list. They go for that.
Right.
But then they have to stop and think, why would these people need to have Paul McCartney again? There's a generation or two that might be on the fence as to who this guy is. I understand that. Katy Perry, Rihanna, and Coldplay?
Those are right in those sweet spots.
Don't think so.
Right now. I mean, I'm surprised that they would. I mean, I guess Coldplay is still relatively popular. They're not as big as they were 3 or 4 years ago, but they're still there. They put out albums, and now, you know, that Chris Martin is always in the news now because of, you know, his wife, ex-wife, whatever you want to call it.
And who's he dating?
Yeah, who did they say he was dating?
Some high-profile woman.
Yeah, who was that now? I can't remember.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, right. But that's what, talk about a power couple.
Well, you want to see them spooling pasta somewhere.
So now I'm wondering who actually wanted the divorce, because he basically looks like he got a newer version of Gwyneth.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. Ow. Well, just saying.
And she's hanging with, who's she hanging with? Suddenly I'm doing the show business report to the nation.
Okay, Marianne.
How did that drop?
Well, you did mention Justin Bieber, so you got
well,
sort of.
Well, no, I was reading a text that okay. said that would be a good halftime okay. show.
Yeah, you haven't mentioned Lindsay Lohan, so that's okay.
I did see a little tease that she did the ice bucket challenge on some late night show. Was it Fallon?
Oh, Lindsay did?
Yeah.
Everybody's doing it now.
Yeah, okay, just send a check. Yeah. And Lindsay Lohan is just doing it because she wants to get in front of a camera and tell people she's not in rehab or anything.
And she actually can feel something. She's not
right.
numb.
Right, she probably feels that way all the time. She didn't even feel the ice go down on her.
She didn't flinch.
Yeah.
I do this every day.
That woman's face.
Oh.
She's not that old, and she looks...
She's not even 20...
How you doing,
Tom? I don't think she's 28.
How you doing? How you doing, yeah? Hey, how are you?
Hi, Tom.
Imagine in 10 years.
Man. Although she'll probably get more face surgery.
Yeah, I know, and she'll look like Joan Rivers when she's 35. Moving on. Page two. Okay, I've got so many ways to go, so little time. All right, I'll just throw this one in as a palate cleanser.
In between the entrees?
Exactly. Herman Goldman celebrated his 101st birthday, not in a nursing home, but surrounded by coworkers at Capital Lighting in New Jersey, where he has been working for 73 years. Oh. He's been with the company since 1941. These days, he spends 4 days a week repairing light fixtures in a workshop in the back.
Oh. That is...
He, in spite of his three-digit age, still drives himself to work. Says, work gives me a reason to get up in the morning and go.
Wow.
To sit down and watch television all day, that's not going to help you. Well, some people need to keep working. And you hear these stories, as soon as they retired, a month later, they're dead.
That's World War II. That's the beginning of World War II for the United States.
I can't imagine working anywhere... Well, they say now, if you don't move job to job within 10 years, you're a failure. You're pretty much stuck.
10? It's even less than that.
My point is, say you have four different jobs in 10 years.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's considered the right thing to do. Working for one place for 40 or 50 or 100 years and getting the gold watch, that's considered... a failure.
Yeah, don't you have any ambition?
Plus, that generation, this guy's generation, that's the one, that's probably the last one that's going to do this.
Yeah, that's security. They always were worried about security.
But 101 and you're still, well, I'm going to go repair light fixtures today. That sounds great. Now, again, watching television all day, not his bag. But still, there's got to be something else you can do that's not fixing light fixtures.
I hope he's not up on a ladder.
No, they showed him he's working at a table.
Okay.
No, not those light fixtures.
Oh, okay. What light fixtures is he doing?
Like lamps and stuff.
Oh, okay. I'm picturing him up going there with
somebody hand me that pliers.
On his tippy toe.
Right, on the track lighting here.
I'm trying to get that light
bulb. That.
It's like, I can't turn the bulb. Uh-oh, what's his name?
His name is Herman High Goldman.
Uh-oh, there goes Herman. Somebody get around him.
Yeah.
He's going up.
101.
Man.
I'm sure his wife died about, 40 years ago.
No, his wife.
Oh,
she's
here
probably
it is.
Still alive.
He continued to work after losing his wife.
Wow.
He was very devoted to his wife, was a wonderful lady who also worked for the same place.
Alan King used to tell a joke about how...
Now, explain who Alan King is.
Well, he was a very funny Borscht Belt comedian in the 60s and 50s, but he told the joke where he'd look in the obituaries and the guy would live to 93 and it would still say he survived by his widow.
Yeah, because the guys always died earlier.
Didn't matter. The women always outlived the guys. Could it be 100. He survived by his widow. It was 102.
After the fiasco putting the tarp on Wrigley the other night, somebody sent me this, the Baseball Injury Hall of Fame, because the number one injury, Cardinals speedster Vince Coleman missed the 1985 World Series after he was run over by the automatic tarp machine.
Yeah, it hit him in the leg.
And it was automatic.
Yeah, which we were talking about yesterday.
So some stadiums have an automatic tarp machine.
Well, I think in St. Louis, when he did it especially, they were able to because that was artificial turf. So it wasn't as hard as dealing with real grass. They were just able to build that in because everything was concrete and artificial anyway. It'd be much more difficult to do it in Wrigley because you're dealing with real grass where you'd have to bury that thing.
Number two, Giants headcase third baseman Chris Brown once begged out of the lineup because of a strained eyelid. He claimed he slept on it wrong.
How do you sleep on your eyelid?
I couldn't sleep on my eyelid very long. When I do sleep on my stomach, my head has to be to the right or the left.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're face down otherwise.
What's he doing? Like,
how do you do that?
I think he's coming up with a bad excuse.
Brewers pitcher Steve Sparks dislocated his shoulder trying to tear a telephone book in half as part of a motivational speech. Rangers pitcher Greg Harris once strained his elbow while flicking sunflower seeds.
That's all they do on the bench.
Cliff Johnson busted his eardrum with a Q-tip in the locker room.
He used to play on the Cubs, Cliff Johnson.
With the Q-tip, you kind of know where the eardrum is because it hurts.
You feel that.
Yeah, when you start pushing
pressure,
too hard.
Yeah. But you do put it in your ear. They say you're not supposed to, but you have.
What
isn't
else,
that the whole idea?
What else do you use a Q-tip for?
Yeah, I mean, they say you're supposed to put it on the outer edge, but then I'm not getting...
I know they use them to clean a baby's nose. That's the other use. But beyond that,
you got to go
what's
in.
A Q-tip for?
You got it, but they always say that you shouldn't because you can hurt your eardrum. But if I'm not, how am I getting my wax? That's where that's where it is. Now, I'm sure you can go too deep.
I have used a Q-tip to clean between the numbers and letters on a keypad.
Oh.
Once in a while. But
that's interesting.
Very limited use otherwise.
Yeah, but you got to like when you go in there sometime. You always look at the tip, too,
Ricky Bones, P. Ricky Bones.
Ricky Bones.
Once hurt his lower back getting out of a chair while watching TV in the clubhouse, or so he claimed.
I could see that. I've wrenched my back just walking down the stairs for no reason.
Pittsburgh pitcher Oliver Perez broke his toe kicking a laundry cart after a disappointing start in 2005. Sammy Sosa was once sidelined with back spasms.
Because he sneezed, right?
Which claims he was caused by his own sneezing.
Yeah, I remember he said that.
Now, I'll tell you what, you of us who have sneezed in your life, sometimes it does something. Either you're breaking wind or a spasm can happen.
Well, think about the violence of a sneeze.
Right.
It's a pretty violent act on your body.
They say it's akin to an orgasm. It's a release of a membrane.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, I'm just
that's too bad.
I
feel sorry for those
for
people.
Hey, I didn't make that up. I'm not saying it. I said I read that somewhere.
But have you ever, like, where you've sneezed so hard that you really do pull a muscle in your chest somehow?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I had a bad back, and one time I had to sneeze, I was starting to cry because I knew how much it was going to hurt when I was going to sneeze, and I didn't want to sneeze, but I knew I had to.
Well, you got to.
And like, you're
waiting
like,
for a secondary ripping sound.
When I had the nasal surgery, the deviated septum and the polyps taken out, and they pack both nostrils with about 40 feet of gauze. And that's one of those things. Oh, no. And then when the doctor pulled, it was like starting a lawnmower. The feeling in my head, it was so weird, that feeling when they were pulling it out.
I had that. I had a broken nose. Same thing. Sure. That is unbelievable. And then the worst part is, then he goes, and now we'll do the next nostril.
They had to leave the other in for an extra day because it hadn't stopped.
Oh, really?
But yeah. So I had to go. I thought, and when they take it out, you feel like a newborn.
It's like
because your nasal passages are blocked for several days.
Oh, it's got to feel so good just to breathe.
When that comes out.
But
when
did you
have this done? A long time ago? Or?
10 years.
Okay. Did it change your voice or anything like that?
But when I asked him about the snoring, he said, well, if I do that surgery, it could change your tone.
And that's when you said.
Your snoring tone.
No.
Oh.
My talking tone. My talking tone.
So you and Barbara Streisand said, no way. She said that she didn't get a nose job because of that. But I don't know why they have to put this cotton in that's like a coil. It's like a spinning coil that he goes, yeah, just hold it, this won't hurt. And then he just yanked it, and it felt like it was in your head.
Mm-hmm.
This thing was just spinning out of like your forehead.
Been with company 22 years. Way to relate to your listeners. 312-521-8600, text and phone number. Here's a good thing. By the way, I'm burning through the vanilla incense.
Yeah.
The vanilla incense that Dave Novotny, the master sculptor, gave me is burning really fast. And I think everybody's kind of liking the vanilla scent.
Yes. Although it was weird today because there's kind of a battling air thing going on. Well, I smelled your old scent, and you did not burn that anymore, right?
I burned all of those sticks, the original box of... Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yesterday was the end.
Okay, so today when I'm coming in off the elevator, I smelled your old scent in the lobby, and then once I opened the door, I smelled the vanilla.
Well, I think, the vanilla is going to start pushing the other scent out eventually.
Yeah, but that other one, it still must be lingering.
Sure. I was burning that for a couple of weeks.
Pretty strong.
But the vanilla, I mean, I'm lighting one off the other.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to have to get a vanilla incense patch.
Why are those burning so fast?
The other ones were sticks. These are cones, little cones.
Yeah.
And for some reason, in about 10 minutes, they're done.
Each one?
Yeah.
So how many are down? There weren't that many in that bag.
I burned through about 6 or 7 today alone.
Oh, then you're going to be done that bag.
Yeah.
You can't have many left
now
in the bag.
Now I found we had some incense at home from New Mexico when we were there a number of years ago. I'm going to start burning some pinon. Pinon is the next scent.
Is that good?
It was good when
I... Do you remember it?
Remember it in New Mexico.
Oh, that's good. Now you're becoming quite the mystic here.
I am. I tell fortunes when people come down to the office. I make bad mojo go away.
I like the Ouija board you brought in, too.
That's next. Going to be doing that. Here's good news, too. The McDonald's coffee that I really like, they're going to start marketing that in stores.
McCafe?
It's going to be packaged and out there for you to buy when you go to your favorite store. Much like Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks have been doing that for a while, too, where you can buy their coffee at the grocery store. McDonald's is collaborating with Kraft to start selling McCafe early next year. It will come in a variety of flavors, like premium roast, French vanilla, and hazelnut. Single-serve pods in some of the flavors will also be available for use with Keurig's brewing system. That's become very popular, too.
Just put that in the machine and it...
Put the top down.
Well, McDonald's needs some help. They have been... I mean, they're still very, you know, the leader by a lot in terms of coming in second between Burger King and Wendy's or whoever. But in terms of their own performance, they have been having some troubles the last couple of years.
Their CEO said McDonald's sells more coffee than anyone else in the country. In a bid to draw more customers, McDonald's gave the stuff away for free in spring around the same time that Taco Bell rolled out its highly anticipated first-ever breakfast menu. This breakfast thing is becoming quite the market. But I've always liked McDonald's coffee.
Really?
And it's only, what, a dollar?
Is it on their dollar menu?
I think it's always been a dollar, as far as I remember. It's very inexpensive compared to Starbucks.
Well,
and it's really good.
Anything's inexpensive
well,
compared to Starbucks.
But the funny part is, again, Dunkin' Donuts around way before Starbucks. McDonald's has been selling coffee for a million years, and then Starbucks comes in. Now, Starbucks has been around.
They have been around for
40 years.
Yeah, it's been around. It's
not just in the
national.
Yeah, in the volume we know now, yeah. But it's been around. And they took over this whole coffee thing and made it the third destination. Home, office, Starbucks. If you're a laptop hobo, you know, where do you go? You're going to go to McDonald's? You're going to go to Dunkin' Donuts? Dunkin' Donuts has somehow cornered the market of older men sitting around in the morning talking.
Till noon.
Yeah. Till noon. That's the only people I see sitting in there, older guys.
And there's policemen that go in there because they have the good donuts.
But mostly these older guys, I'm guessing they're retired, and that's part of the routine. I'll meet you at McDonald's. That's how we start our day, and then we'll go and do nothing the rest of the day.
And then you wonder why that one guy is 101 and he's still putting light bulbs in. He didn't want to hang around at the donut shop. You know, the old guy you said was 100 still working after 73 years? Because that's the other alternative.
All right, well, I'm glad to see that because I will bring that McDonald's.
So would you buy that?
Home. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you really think that there's a discernible difference that much, that you would actually buy that?
I like Dunkin' Donuts coffee. If I had a list, Dunkin', McDonald's, Starbucks last.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
See, I'm not a coffee drinker, so I have no idea what makes a good cup as opposed to a bad cup. Do you do straight black, or do you put cream or sugar?
I'm a skim milk person.
Okay.
No sugar. The other day when I went to Dunkin' and got the blueberry cake donut.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good. Anything blueberry is good.
I love blueberries.
I love blueberry.
And you're right. Blueberry ice cream.
Everything.
Anything blueberry.
Oh, I got that faggy, whatever that.
That's none of our business.
Yogurt.
Business.
That yogurt is. Fojo. Oh, their blueberry.
I don't eat yogurt.
Really?
No.
Their blueberry yogurt is so good. They give you a ton because it's got that little, I don't know if you've ever seen the little containers for the single servings, but they do a thing where there's the fruit is on one side and the yogurt's on another, and you can bend it and put it in separately, or you could just, and they give you just a heaping amount of blueberries. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that is something that I, in the past, now maybe it's corrected, with raisin cereals, there were never enough raisins for my liking. Maybe
like,
they
like Raisin Bran and whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It always seemed. Now, again, I haven't had it in a while. I got to get back into cereal. I like cereal, but
I love cereal.
I'm in a lull about cereal eating.
Really? Why?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's so easy.
It's the best thing to eat at 10 o'clock at night.
It's the greatest thing.
Because if you're hungry, you don't want to get into a big meal.
Right.
And have nightmares. As they say, that brings on nightmares.
It's light.
And then you have a bowl of cereal. And you feel satisfied,
right.
But you don't feel like you've just had a lead pipe put in your stomach.
And it's not something that you're gonna. It's gonna be a big, ceremony to make. It takes 2 seconds. Put it in a bowl. Put the milk on it. It's light.
And boy, we've become munch mavens suddenly. This text says, "How about the next item? Gear Force incense." Smells like the future.
That would be smells like the future.
What does the future smell like?
Like this.
Yeah. That smells like a $50 bill.
You know what? I'm actually, I mean, you've got me, because I said when I was a little kid, my dad was burning incense, which seemed very strange to me because I don't know where he would have, you know, he wasn't a child of the 60s by any means. And yet he was burning these little, but his looked different than yours. He didn't burn the sticks.
They looked like those snakes that we used to do on 4th of July.
Yeah, there's a little square
thing that he put, like you have, that little square, whatever they call that, that you stick it in.
Right, there's a little ceramic tile
with
a hole in it.
But these look like little logs, you know, that he had. And he used to burn that all the time, and I was like, where is that coming from? And that's what, when the day you started, I mean, I totally, when you started burning that incense, boy, did I flash back to my house when I was a little kid. And now I'm saying to myself, I want to buy some incense. So I think you're starting a trend here. Because then I said to myself, well, now if I burn this incense at my house, am I doing it only because, you know, you did it or now, you know. But I'm sort of going, no, I really like the smell when I come into
your
office.
Okay, why does it matter if you're just copying me? You've done that for decades.
Yeah, this is true.
You've been trying to copy, and you...
Well, I haven't, and that hasn't been the overriding thing that stopped me from doing it. But I'm just sitting there going, I really think that I would like to burn incense.
I love, as I've mentioned, the smell. Who doesn't? A wood-burning fireplace.
Yeah.
And even if you don't have one, if you're walking around a neighborhood where there are a lot of them in the air, if that doesn't smell good, and then somebody suggested I get a turban and sit there and burn incense.
Gari.
God bless.
Gari.
Gari.
Gari. Where are you going?
Here's a text. I like my coffee like I like my women, bitter and murky. That used to be the morning show on the AM.
See, I'm not a coffee drinker at all, but I always think that if you have to put something in it, you don't really like coffee.
What do you mean?
Well, because you're changing the flavor.
Well, you're echoing this text. True coffee lovers like it strong and black.
Well, that's what I would think.
I hate iced coffee. That's like this cold soup that they serve in restaurants during the summer. What the hell is that? Cold soup.
You're not a friend of the Vichyssoise?
No.
Vichyssoise?
And I like when they don't serve iced tea during the winter.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Coca-Cola on ice and all these other drinks. Why do you put that away during the winter? And I don't want to have cold soup in the summer. Soup is hot. Just give me your hot soup.
That's another one of your little phrases. Soup is hot.
Soup is hot. That's the way it should be served.
You don't like a cold soup, though?
No.
At all? Ever?
No. Cold soup. It's an oxymoron. It's wrong. Shouldn't be.
Yeah, but I like a nice...
No. But that's a drink. It's not soup. That's a...
Now, do you have to have it piping?
No, I hate it piping.
Yeah,
I don't want to burn my mouth.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I'm not going to go to the glyoxide in the medicine cabinet.
That's not easy to have the right temperature of soup.
It is very tricky.
Yeah, it is.
There's that moment where you've gone too far. Now I got to wait 10 minutes before it cools off.
And then I remember my mom, you know, I think back, and I mean, this is once again, they didn't know better. This is what they taught. But how many times, I remember my mom, we'd be in a restaurant, and the soup would be too hot, and she put ice cubes in it.
I do that.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
But it dilutes the soup.
No, you got to get the right.
Aren't you doing the favor?
You got to do the right mix. Maybe one cube.
But I would think that dilutes
the... No, because if it's so hot, and I don't want to wait, I got to start bringing it down.
Okay,
yeah.
So that wasn't bad.
No.
Because I always thought, Mom, what are you doing? You're diluting the soup. You're ruining the soup
by so hot,
putting extra water in it.
Hate that feeling when you burn your mouth with
terrible.
A hot piece of pizza or something.
Oh, Captain Crunch used to tear the heck out of the roof of my mouth.
Why did he do that? Tell him to stop. I don't know what you were playing.
Well, that's why. Now, you were talking about cereal. Do you like a soggy or a... Because I like it soggy.
I like when it's just about getting soggy. But I'll tell you what, ice cream, I like when it's just about liquid.
Yeah.
When it's just getting watery.
Almost like a porridge.
Right. I'll stir it or put it in the microwave
until
it gets right to that moment.
I hate it when it's hard.
All right, just going to let that go and have that used for drop-ins.
Isolate that.
On the Nick DiGilio show. I'm sure he'd like that one.
No, but, I mean, in fact, I will, the one of the best, what I will do, honey bunches of oats. If you put that in pour that in a bowl, and I will walk away for 5 minutes and let it just sit there. And that stuff gets so soggy, so fast, it's fantastic.
Speaking of food, somebody texted and said, please cack that ketchup on your hot dog promo. Why do I want to listen to that? I don't know why that guy who did that, Dan.
Oh, okay.
You know, you've heard that.
Yeah, Dan Levy, yeah.
Yeah, we're Freeform and all that.
Yeah.
The Freeform wouldn't lead me to put ketchup on a hot dog.
That's true.
Free form would be
mustard.
Marijuana spread on your hot dog. Something way out there.
Oh, okay.
But ketchup, that isn't free form. That's just wrong.
Well, maybe that's what he's saying. You're breaking the rules.
Okay, but there's got to be a better rule to break.
Okay.
And I like Dan, but we got to, that text is right. We got to stop that one.
So you are anti-ketchup.
Yeah.
On a hot dog, really.
Hot dog, mustard and relish, that's it. I don't put anything else on it.
When we used to have hot dog day in grammar school, I used to get ketchup only. But now I don't put ketchup at all.
Same thing with, and my mother used to do this, and I think it was very popular back then, putting butter on any kind of sandwich.
Oh, my gosh.
Butter on everything. Really. Butter and ham or
right.
Whatever it was did not work.
My wife says that her mom would put butter on a sandwich with mayonnaise.
Right. My mom was like that.
That was the first thing that went on.
Butter first.
And then you put mustard on, and then your ham and cheese or whatever.
When you go to Subway and they're saying, okay, what do you want? You don't go butter.
Butter? I
never
heard of that.
They have a butter bin there to start.
And isn't like bologna or ham oily enough? And then you've got butter on top of it?
That was the sandwich, the bologna sandwich that the butter be on.
Oh! Now, I like fried bologna. My mom used to make fried bologna. Now, there, ketchup was good on fried bologna. Your mom was Polish, right?
We had fried bologna. My brother would make fried bologna. My mother would also make bread, butter, and sugar as a treat.
Bread, butter, and sugar.
So white bread with butter, and then sprinkle sugar on that.
And that was a sandwich?
It wasn't a sandwich. Just like
that could work.
A sweet treat. Yeah.
A red, white sugar or brown?
White.
Oh, white.
We didn't. Yeah, brown sugar was only for baking.
Yeah, food talk. That usually is reserved for the 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah, it's like 6:20. What's going on?
Broke into that.
I don't know. I'm wearing lemon-scented body butter, and it's making me hungry.
Lemon-scented body butter.
What is body butter?
It's like a thicker body cream, but it's got a lemon scent.
You
and
put
I've been
cream
thinking...
on at the start of the day?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Right after out,
like
of the out of the shower, I use oil. And then lotion.
Don't your clothes stick to you?
No. They slide right off.
Well, no, but I would think if you've got oil, isn't that make it all sticky?
No. It's how you dry off soft. And
Okay, that. But a woman can only do that. You can't.
Yeah, guys can't do that.
Can't put on
No, but this lemon is making me think of like
I love lemon
meringue.
Too. Anything lemon.
Yep.
I got this Robin Williams arm here. I could never put oil on.
Oh, yeah. Talk about a hairy beast. If
you got to dig down in there to get to the skin.
If you saw any Robin Williams films where they exposed his arms, he was ape-like, and so was Bibble.
There was although at least mine isn't as dark. You had real dark. Mine's lighter. But there was a story where they interviewed Penny Marshall because she was a good friend of Robin Williams, and they did that movie Awakenings together. And she said there was one scene where there was a close-up of his hand, and she said, you have to shave your hand. It looks like there's a monkey in the movie.
Did he do that movie, Hudson, what was it?
Moscow.
Moscow on the Hudson?
Yeah, he was in
And he's in a bathtub in that. It's... And, that's when I first thought, this is half man, half ape.
Well, and then he did have, for Hook, he played Peter Pan. And he did have to do a complete body waxing for that because Peter Pan is like, the child.
The forever boy.
So he had to do a whole body waxing. And if you saw the thing and you were like, where's all of his hair?
And I hear that in Jumanji, he also played all the Aprils.
But she said, we have to do this over, Robin, because you got to shave your hand. Because it looks like
Do you have hair on your knuckles?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
It's not real, like I
said.
But
he's got that, Robin Williams had it, and with that dark hair where you see,
right.
it looks
it
like you got
wet,
a paw.
When he was in that bathtub scene, when it's wet. I saw a guy at a pool once, and I looked away. I thought a monkey had jumped in the pool. This guy had hair everywhere, back, front, but thick.
And it's really weird to watch the water trickle off that sweater
and right,
back.
Yeah,
yeah, and he's going to clog the filter, too, because some of that's going to get loose.
It kind of glistens.
It does.